to the official Marketing Showcase podcast, where we speak about the latest marketing trends, tools and ideas. I'm Alex King, your host for the day. We are here at the Utilita Bowl in Southampton, the home of cricket. My first guest on the podcast is Becky, but I'm going to let her introduce herself and what she does.
Hi, I'm Becky Coote. I am content writer, strategist and trainer at Words and Stuff.
Brilliant. So how did you begin your career and how did you get here?
I used to be in events many, many moons ago until I had kids, and then the two didn't really go together. And then I started freelancing in social media and doing that. And then I realized that actually I really enjoyed the writing, but not the social media side. So I moved more into blogs, articles and the longer side of writing.
Fantastic. Now, I'm a writer myself, so I love all this. It's a great, great subject for me. So people ask me, who is my ideal client? So who is your ideal client?
I work with pretty much any business you can think of. For most part, it's B2B businesses, professional services, those who probably have a small marketing function in-house but are looking for that extra bit of support and help.
So do you have regular clients or do you have one-offs or do you have monthly retainers? How does it work?
Most of my clients, I have monthly retainers. So I produce a set number of blogs or social media posts or whatever it is that they need every single month. And then I do have clients who come in who might just need a one-off project, so a one-off strategy or audit just to set them in the right direction. And then I also do one-off training sessions for bigger marketing teams.
Which kind of client do you prefer? Because I know what I prefer, but sometimes people don't prefer a type of client, but do you?
No, I enjoy the variety. I think that's the one thing I love about my job, is that one day I'll be writing about marketing and the next day I might be writing about ESG and then the next day I might write about finance, and I meet so many different people and talk about and learn about so many different things that's what I really love about what I do.
Yes, and would you say most of the job is researching?
100% yes. It's the research that takes the time, and then if you've done your research, the words should flow. So yeah, definitely research is the main part of my job.
How many drafts do you do? Do you just like type out loads of things and then look at it, come back to it later? Or do you think, oh no, that's okay first time? How long does it take you?
Depends on what it is and how long I've been doing it. So for instance, I've worked with one recruitment client for, oh gosh, probably 4 years now, writing 2 blogs a month for them. So for them, I find it quite straightforward because I know their tone, I know what they like, and I know the topic area because I've been writing about it for so long. Whereas when I work with a newer client and there's more to learn, that obviously takes longer. I generally do all the research, compile it all into a very messy Google Doc, and then pull out the things that are actually interesting and start my draft from there. But obviously the client never sees the research draft because they would just panic.
And do you find editing, like reducing your copy, is easy or is it hard, or does that take you quite a long time to do?
No, I think the editing I find quite easy because I never edit on the day that I write. I do the writing one day and then I leave it at least 24 hours because then you come at it with a slightly fresher pair of eyes and you can be a bit more ruthless about what you're cutting out. And then you start to see the drivel that you wrote the day before and you make it better.
I bet it's not a drivel. But yeah, do you feel like it's a clearer head once you slept on it and come back the next day?
Definitely. I'd always advise that when I do my training, I always tell people kind of do the research one day, do the writing another day, do the editing another. The longer you can leave it in between, the better, because you've kind of forgotten what you've done and you come back to it. But obviously there are times where deadlines are tight and you don't have the luxury of time. So then in that case, I'd say, leave your desk. If you've written it, walk away, give it a couple of hours and then come back and edit. Don't edit as soon as you finish writing because it's never going to work.
No, exactly. So I know people talk to writers about tone of voice and some people do not understand tone of voice. Would you mind explaining it for me and how important it is to writing?
Yeah, absolutely. So tone of voice is the style that comes across when you talk. So if you think about it, there are two different things. There's brand voice and tone of voice. So brand voice might be kind of the values that you come back to, but tone of voice is how you apply those. So if you think about it, I'm talking to you now in a particular way, but I will go home and talk to my kids in a different way, and my husband a different way, my friend somebody else, a new client in a different tone. So we can always flex our tone, and it's about the characteristics and the personality and the emotion that we convey with it. So we should always have our brand voice, which runs through everything. So that might be that, you know, I throw in the odd, well, I try to be a little bit humorous in what I do and say, and that would be my brand voice, but I dial that up and down depending who I'm talking to, and that's my tone of voice. And it's so important because these days in content, we have so many different platforms and touch points. You know, you've got 4 social media profiles, you've got your website, you might have brochures or PDFs that you send out to clients, and all of those have to align and they have to sound the same, so that no matter which one a client goes to, they know that you're the same business. And that's what makes it really tricky in modern marketing to apply your tone of voice correctly.
And do people come to you with a tone of voice document, or do you have to write it for, do you have to make it up and write it for them?
80% probably I make it up. I'd love it if they had, if they did. But I think most businesses, it evolves as they go and it changes, and they never have the time or the inclination. It's not priority for them to sit down and write it down. But then you do have the odd one or two who go the other way and whose tone of voice document is, you know, 20, 30 pages long. And in that case, it's not workable. Well, it's where they're packed with examples, and it's just not, no one is going to sit and digest a 20-page tone of voice document and interpret it correctly. Exactly. It just really limits what you do, and then everything just sounds boring. It's better to have kind of a tight but loose, some clear guidelines and outline of how you want to sound, one or two little examples, but there needs to be flexibility to apply it depending on what you're writing. So yeah, I'd love it if more clients did have tone of voice, but I think it's something that people just neglect.
Yeah, and I suppose it's something that people would need to learn about and know that it's really important, because I don't know about you, but the worst thing I've come across is a website that's written by about five different people that work there, and they've all got a different tone of voice, and it just doesn't make sense. Have you come across that before?
Yeah, definitely. And I think of bigger companies where there's multiple people who are signing things off. Everyone chips in, and what started as perhaps a cohesive document gradually gets eroded and chopped and changed, and one page sounds completely different to a different, another page, or even halfway down, just something, when you're reading it, something clicks, and it just, not in a good way. And I think, again, so many people think that they do marketing or think that they do copywriting when it may not be their official role. And we've all been there. And you can tell that they don't understand about tone of voice or customer journeys or anything kind of related to marketing. They just go on what their personal preference is and what they think sounds good. And most of the time, it does not sound good. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so it comes on to help getting help with marketing, especially if you work up like on your own, like you do. We can't not talk about AI. Do you use AI tools for your writing? If not, will you be in the future?
Do I use AI? In a very loose way. I think AI needs to be, one, it's made a massive impact in the copywriting industry right now. You've seen over the past 18 months, the landscape has changed, because especially smaller businesses where their budgets are tight, you know, the economy's not great, cost of living, everyone is watching the pennies, that their instinct is to go, well, why should I pay for that when I can stick it to ChatGPT for free? And I'm not, you know, there's a time and a place for AI, in my opinion, in copywriting. You know, the way that I use it right now is, say, I might write a blog, but I might stick it into Perplexity is my AI tool of choice. And I'll stick it to Perplexity and say, can you break this? Can you create three social media posts to promote this in the same tone, in the same style? And it gives me a starting point. And then I'll edit those posts. So I use, but I still write the blog. And like so many websites I go to these days where you know that they haven't, they've just stuck it into ChatGPT, copied and pasted onto the website. And you can tell. So I do use it, but I use it intentionally. And I think at the moment, that's what's missing in the copywriting world, is that people have just gone carte blanche, everything AI.
Yeah.
Because it's cheap and it solves a problem and it ticks a box. And I think we all need to kind of stop and look at, why are we using it? Is this the right way to use it? Because absolutely, there are some great things it can do. And some, when it is just you as a solo marketer in a business, I can totally see why people do use it, because it saves time, it saves energy, you can get more done. But that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do, and it doesn't mean it's giving you the best quality. And in that instance, you're very much prioritising quantity over quality copywriting.
Thank you for being my first podcast guest.
You're welcome, it's been fun.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Please check the feed for loads more content from Marketing Showcase events. You can find out more about Marketing Showcase at mktgshowcase.co.uk. There's details about the upcoming events on there, along with a ton of useful blogs, details about exhibitors, links to social channels, and more. I run my own business, by the way, Sound Media, helping brands to incorporate podcasting into their marketing output. If you'd like to get to know me a little bit better, LinkedIn is the place for that. Search for James Marriott and look for the headphones emoji. That's me. We'll be back soon with more insights from Marketing Showcase. See you then.